Hello and welcome into the latest edition of the Rebel Room. I'm Taylor Byrne alongside Case Kiefer and Ray Brewer. First of all, apologies for missing a couple of episodes. One of those, just none of us were in town. And the second one, I wasn't in town as I attempted to get back from Iowa after the holidays, something that Case and I will get into a little bit, our travel woes in our music, special edition music episode that you can also find here on LasVegasSun.com. But this one is all basketball. Wanted to get everybody together to preview the Mountain West Conference season and look at UNLV's chances in it. But before we can do that, because one game has already taken place and it did not go well, we've got to start with last night's 69-66 loss to Fresno State. The Rebels, led by six at halftime, immediately gave that lead away in the second half, something that we've seen, you know, throughout the years with Dave Rice teams as something that they just in general have struggled with. UNLV was great at rebounding, which was a concern going into the game, and they were great at getting to the free throw line and making free throws. They were 26 of 35, I believe. I know they had 35 attempts. But those two things, very, very good, if not great, for 39 and 36 minutes respectively. But it was giving up a key offensive rebound that put Fresno State ahead for good. And UNLV, despite playing against a Fresno State lineup that had all five guys with four fouls for pretty much the entirety of the last 5 minutes, did not get to the free throw line again. Just seemed like a complete lack of awareness. I think there was only one time during those final, it was 4:47 after their last free throw attempt, and only one shot after that from UNLV was inside the paint, and that was a really, really great stutter step move by Jalen Poyser that he was able to convert for a layup, but just not attacking the rim the way you would expect a team to once they get an opponent on the ropes like that. I mean, UNLV shot 33% for the game. They were 27% in the second half. The offense just had nothing except for the free throw line. And so to see them do that so well, you mostly through the bigs with Ben Carter, who shot 10-12, and just getting touches to Zim, I think, you know, would enable getting to the free throw line, and we just didn't see it there at the end. That to me was, you know, sort of the thing that really jumped out. Ray, you were there. You predicted a, I think, 13-point UNLV win. Thought that this would be an easy start to conference play. What were your feelings after watching what transpired?
I mean, I obviously have been wrong on the team. I thought that they were really going to be a dominant force in the league this year. And they're up by 6 or 7, I think, at half last night.
Yep, 6.
Granted, they had a few lucky shots, Zimmerman's 3-pointer, for instance. But I started to flip my tune, Mr. Byrne, Mr. Kiefer, with the opening of the second half. It was just bad possession after bad possession. Carelessness after, you know, awful decision. I think they had 3 straight turnovers in four. Was it?
No, it was 2 back to back to start the second half, and they were ones where it was just complete throwaways.
Yeah, just awful carelessness. That it just was total a head scratcher. And then, I mean, to their credit, they found a way to get back in the game. Right, they got to the foul line. They played some good defense.
Jalen Poyser was tremendous,
phenomenal. I think you're reading my playbook. Then they finally get the lead. I think they're up 64-62, and they get the ball, and they go down, and they have a shot clock violation. And I'm like, oh my god, how could you not even attempt a shot? You got a team on the ropes. You've got the ball. You have all the momentum. The arena is finally semi-loud. And you can't even get a shot off.
Yeah, that stood out to me, too. I mean, that was just such a horrible possession. And, I mean, I haven't seen every game. And last time I brought this up, you kind of, I guess, disagreed strongly with me and told me to have patience. But just thinking a couple of the losses they've had, I've just been so disappointed with Seegers. I mean, I feel like he's this guy that's supposed to come in and be the steadying force. And if you're talking about getting a shot clock violation, I know he had another horrendous turnover. He traveled at the end of the game. I mean, isn't that the guy that's kind of got to fall on to make sure the offense gets a shot or gets moving? I think if not to blame this all on one person, obviously this is a much bigger mistake than that, but just since you did that as the jumping off point, he's been a real disappointment to me this year, and I think that has really contributed greatly in some of these losses.
I can't dispute with that. He's been, you know, as careless as, you know, Cornish's bad pass and Jones's bad pass. With that said, Mikasa head scratcher Taylor, because I know that he obviously he brings so much to the team, and we know what he's capable of. But last night he gets, you know, a game after UNLV had a ton of success with him being kind of timid and distributing the ball, which you could argue if that's okay or not. He gets two quick fouls in 90 seconds, and I think that just took his whole aggressiveness away. Only ended up with three shots. And for a guy who you would think, you know, would take over, like Marvell Harris, Fresno State, one of the best players in the league, Fresno State's horse, the dude was all that and everything last night. That's kind of what you expected Makah to be, and I just didn't think he responded well to the foul trouble, and he needs to obviously be more aggressive. You know, I've been high on Seegers all year. I wrote about him at the beginning of the year. I was wrong probably, and I guess that could be the general theme of what we're talking about. But I think if that guy isn't the driver of the Cadillac, if he's just a piece, I think we see what I think he could bring. But when McCaw's on the bench and he's taking on so much, him and Ike had some just awful decisions and awful shots last night. And I think part of that was because they saw McCaw on the bench and maybe they thought they had to do more.
Yeah, it's a weird thing going on with Pat. And he doesn't always have to be like the dominant scorer, but you usually need either scoring from him or distributing. And he honestly, I think, would prefer to be like 5 points and 8 assists, something like that. But it really goes back to the Wichita State game. That was the first time all year, maybe even the first time in his career, where he just seemed out of it, just seemed off. And it was like, okay, one game, his parents were there, it could be something in his head or that. And then the next game was Riverside, and he took over in the second half. There have been spurts since then, but it hasn't been the same. I feel like there's something more going on there, but I don't know what. And last night, yeah, he picks up two fouls in the first 90 seconds. So he played a season low 18 minutes, five turnovers. He and Seegers combined for 10 turnovers. And it just, he was just never in it. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't good enough. You know, UNLV has come to rely on him too much for that to just completely disappear, you know. And we've been like very negative so far because it's a disappointing loss. Fresno State's a good team. Ben Carter and I, you know, Fresno State may outside shot at winning the league. Like, it could happen. I think they'll probably finish top three. I think this is the year they finally make the jump up to that. Very experienced team. They're good.
Yeah, but totally agree.
But this
they
is not
good.
One that you should lose that way. Especially I just keep coming back to the playing against five guys with four fouls and you don't go to the rim. How do you not go to the rim? That doesn't make any sense. That's just no awareness of the situation.
They've been an awful second half team this year.
In general, yeah.
No, I mean, I can't. I mean, just awful, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, you look at Fresno, they gave up a lead. Arizona State, they gave up a lead. Those are two games you should have won.
Yeah.
Without question. You got to find a way to finish. You got to be more versatile on offense. I totally agree with you in terms of just taking the ball to the basket, penetrating. And I just go – and forget about just all that philosophy stuff. It's just a constant bad decision after bad decision after poor shot. You know, there's one thing to take a three-pointer when you're set and looking at the basket. There's another thing to – hurl one up from 26 feet, 4 seconds into the shot clock when you're one of six already on the night. And yeah. I might have exaggerated on a few of those numbers, but the general theory is a contested shot too early in the offense when you're not feeling it.
Well, yeah, and so this is – I ended up kind of focusing my lead, and I don't know if this was right or not, but it just it felt important because it was the final straw, not because it was some terrible shot, but it was after – Jones goes over Zimmerman to get the tip in, so Zim doesn't. Uh-huh. And Zim, 10 and 10, he was rebounding nine defensive rebounds. He needed 10. He had to grab that because then UNLV gets fouled, has a chance to put things away at the free throw line. All you have to do is grab the ball, and he's a freshman. He's going to make mistakes. All this other stuff, you just got to grab the ball, and it doesn't matter if you win rebounding 43-31 if you don't do it when it counts. And it doesn't matter if you get to the free throw line 35 times if you don't do it when it counts. So the shot I ended up kind of starting things off with in my story was UNLV's last real possession, where it was right after that tip-in. They call a timeout. They draw it up for McCaw to get to the rim. Seegers is standing in the right corner. His man comes in. Mm-hmm. McCaw is basically in between four defenders, and he kicks out to Seegers for an open three that he misses. He missed 5 3-pointers. He's shooting 30% beyond the arc on the year. Jalen Poyser, who was the only offense going in the second half, never got a touch on the possession. Look, you got an open shot out of it. If you're okay with anybody taking an open shot in that situation, then there you go. You got it. I don't care that there were four guys around him. Make those refs were calling everything.
Everything.
You got to the line 35 times in the last 4.5 minutes when it mattered most, when you're trying to close out, when you're trying to win a conference game at home. This is such a winnable league. You got to win at home. Just go to the rim. If they don't make a call, then it's the first call that they wouldn't have made in the second half.
And that's the, to me, that's the telltale thing of the night, is that it's a winnable league. The league, we know it's tough to win on the road. You got a team on the ropes in your own building, and you just let it slip through the cracks. And listen, I've been an apologist. You guys know that. You guys have rightfully so held me up to task on it. But it's like eventually you would think that something would work. And this is Fresno. I mean, Fresno State's a good team.
Yeah.
But it's still Fresno State at home.
They still probably shouldn't have by far what seemed like the two best players on the court, which it seemed like last night. I thought Harris and Jones.
Jones,
just
they
seemed,
were. And hair, and look, all the times that people want to lean on they were sick or something, Harris was battling the flu, didn't operate in shoot around, looked all out of sorts in the first half. He finishes with a game high 22.
And he was like 8 of 11, by the way. And it was just like turnover, fast. They at one point it was 27-2 on points off turnovers.
Yeah, and it ended up being ugly.
31-6 or something.
Yeah, it was.
UNLV had 5 fast break points. Five.
We're running this year, Ray.
I totally get the narrative, Taylor. And listen, I've been one to always. I just said it. I've been one to always be glass half full. But last night, those possessions early in the second half, I'm like, what are we doing? Why would you? I don't know. I mean, and I just start thinking, I would want to put them away. That would be the mantra. Let's go out there, play our best 5 minutes, and put these guys away. Instead, it's 40-32 before the pen on my ink dries on the paper. It was 50-42, I think it was.
I mean, it got to that midway through the second half.
33-27. Yeah. I got up. I had to use the restroom. UNLV, I hear Rebels. I look up. It's 33-27 at the half. I'm like, okay. I'm writing my column. UNLV wins. Good start. Here's what they did right. Look up, 50-42. And it was like, guy coming at me to dunk. Guy coming at me to dunk. Guy coming at me to dunk.
Boy, how about Ido showing UNLV's bigs how you finish at the rim? Like, Zim's missed a lot of close shots this year. That guy went basically through/over 3 UNLV defenders with just one drop step move for a great dunk.
I will tell you this. If UNLV wins the game and Zimmerman grabs that rebound, which we don't know about, we'd be sitting here right today being like, boy, that guy makes a difference being in the lineup. He challenged shots at the rim. He had a few blocks. UNLV run.
And he does make a difference. Yeah. I think that was the most he's played all year. It was 34 minutes.
And UNLV won the rebounding war, right?
Yep. Oh, Ray's so fired up now.
No, I'm just
– I don't think we've been overly negative about Zimmerman, though.
No. I mean, but I think him being in the lineup, we would have said what a difference it makes. The games prior, they didn't win the rebounding edge, right? He's long. He gives him extra body to defend the rim. You know, they were missing that. We would have sung his glory. Now it's like, oh.
Well, just sung his glory. Let's back off. They had 21 turnovers, whether he was in the game or not.
No, no,
like
no.
That.
But we would. But the theme of the show would have been, okay.
Just his individual glory.
They dug themselves in a hole, but maybe it's different because, thank you for defending me. I appreciate it. but you know, hey, they rallied. They found a way to get it done.
It would have been, found a way to get it done. Good job. Be better.
Be better.
Yeah, but there's still some issues. I still think we would have said that.
No, we would have said that, but at least it wouldn't have been like, well, Brewer. Yeah.
And again, here's the counter to that. It is only one game.
I know, but it's only been one game multiple times.
Yes, and that's how everyone, at least looking at my Twitter feed here, how they all feel. That's how we feel.
And you know what also it is? And this is very important. People in this town only support winners. You give them one chance to feel negative, they're going to go overboard right away. Now you got to go to the Rocky Mountains for two games.
Mm-hmm.
You're lucky if you split. Let's be honest, right?
Yeah. Well, not like I think splitting is acceptable.
You're lucky if you split. Now you're going to come back home. You're going to be 10-5 or 6 or something, right?
You'd be 10-6.
10-6. There was a lot of empty seats last night, bro.
Yeah, the announced was like 12-2. You know, real was probably closer to, what, 10-5. Here, this is just and somebody like countered me on Twitter, and maybe they have a point. This is probably just more of a personal gripe than anything. At the under 8 timeout, there's like, and mass exodus is too strong, but there are a lot of people who just immediately get up out of their seats. Like, and this goes back to when I went to games as a kid, probably. I never understand why you even show up if you're always planning. Like, these are people who were always planning on leaving early. Because the game was getting good. UNLV was down 6, crawling back. The people who did stay, the crowd was loud. It was great when Poyser hit the 3 to go up 61-60. The roof blew off the place. It was fun. Why do you even show up if you're always planning to leave early? That's never made any sense to me.
I think it goes back to my old sweater argument. There's a lot of people who've been going to games for years because that's what they do. They leave the house at a certain time. They show up at a certain time. They buy the same thing of popcorn, and they leave at a certain time.
I would rather just show up for the last 8 minutes than leave.
I know, but you're younger. You get it. There's people who've been doing this who are a little older or elderly.
It was not like the old folks home walking out. It was all ages. It was parents with their kids and people on their,
to go
and
to
people
bed.
By themselves, like couples. It's
that's
just people
just
who decided they were going to leave.
Vegas. You don't want to get stuck in that traffic.
No, it's not even a Vegas thing. That's where it's like a personal gripe. There are people at Northern Iowa who do this, at Iowa, at Iowa State, at Kansas, everywhere, Wichita State.
There's no worse,
I don't get it.
There's no worse feeling in the world than getting stuck in traffic.
Then don't go.
But
then
you want to go to the game.
No one wants you here. No one wants you here if you're just going to leave early. I don't want you here. It's stupid.
I know you physically don't, but UNLV needs them.
They already bought their season tickets.
Well, maybe they bought some tickets off the street corner. It's just it's a
win. I would like to take this moment to thank my parents for never – I've been to hundreds of games. I can remember leaving early once. I think that is – if you're a fan, if you go to – and I don't like to do the whole fan rants. I'm not our buddy Adam Hill with these are the rules for how you have to be. But that's one of mine. Why even show up if you're planning on leaving early? Unless you got to like – you got to go to the hospital. You got to do this. This is the one time you're leaving early. That's not the one time. Like, it happens all the time. I don't get it. Especially in a game like that, UNLV needed that crowd to help. Like, that place was electric there at the end. Why would you not – want to be a part of it? Maybe it's because you already assumed that they were just going to give it away the way that they did.
When I was a kid, my dad, we parked at the Flamingo Library. This is where I get my anti-traffic thing from. And we'd get to the game early, yada, yada. Game would end, and we'd sit there until the usher would be like, all right, it's time to go. School night or not, walk across campus in the cold to the Flamingo Library. No traffic. Burger King on Trop and Pecos.
Those are good memories.
I love that Burger King.
Yeah. You see, like, nobody likes being stuck in traffic, but that's part of the deal. If you don't accept that, don't go.
Yeah. Yeah. Was last night,
my personal rant.
Was last night the first time that you've seen Dave Rice like just totally defeated?
No.
Okay.
I don't think he was like totally defeated either.
Well, when he was on that post-game radio show, he kind of was like deer in the headlight, Dave Rice.
He can look like that in previews too. Like it's I don't take a whole lot from his tone or body language a lot of times, because it can just be, even when they're like doing well, it can be pretty low key and different stuff. And he was more agitated than anything else during our post game. So he comes to the writers and TV in that back room and then goes up to do radio. I mean, in general, he's saying the exact same things. But, you know, maybe his disposition changes a little bit. But I don't read a ton into that. I mean, they're obviously concerned. They're 9-5. They have two losses they shouldn't, both at home. You know, you're starting league play 0-1 for the second straight year. That's not good. Both times you blew halftime leads. That's not good.
Well, the year I went to cover them,
that was 2 years ago.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, last year was Wyoming.
Okay.
Where they were, where Chris Wood scored like the first 18 points.
Yes, and
they were up big, yeah. And they lost 76-71. So, yeah, I wanted to get everybody together to preview the Mountain West, and instead, 21 minutes later, after all of our talk over the first game, maybe some overkill on one loss, but I think most people would agree that based on what we've seen over the years, what we've seen recently this year, and just what we saw last night, probably not overkill, most likely there. There's many things to be concerned about. They still got a lot of chances. This league did not suddenly get a ton better overnight, but Fresno State look good. They're going to be a team to contend with. You know, San Diego State is going to be tough. Boise's going to be tough. I don't know about Utah State, but, you know, playing at the Pitt's probably going to be tough. You know, can this team have a winning record on the road? Can they go 5-4?
It would be 4-4 or 5-3, right? Or,
no, it's 9.
Oh, I'm sorry. God, I can't.
It's okay.
I knew
math
that.
Is hard.
Could they ask me next after the Wyoming?
After they play two of them?
It's just throwing me off how pessimistic. I don't know if pessimistic is the right word, but not optimistic yeah,
when
that you are.
When you catch Ray after losses, it can be.
Okay, well, no, I feel like there's like, when we were talking about counters, I was going to say this, but I feel like, Brewer, you actually could be the uplifting person here and being like, I think there's no doubt that UNLV is a disappointment right now, 9-5. You know, there's nothing we can say that's going to make what they've done better. But I think at the beginning of the year, if you said they'd be 9-5, there's no way I think they would have this good of a chance still to win the league.
Here's the deal. The part of my non-Ray Brewer attitude is the fact that it's likely a one-bid league.
Yep. I mean, I still...
If it was a four-bid league, I'd be great. They're going to do it. Let's go get our tournament tickets bought.
I still hear December 31st, gun to my head, will say they get two in, but I can't tell you how. You know, you just look at the... UNLV came in with the best RPI, and that just took a huge hit with that loss. But no matter what, it was going to take hits just by playing the rest of the teams.
Yeah, wait till they play Air Force.
Wait till they play San Jose State.
Yeah.
You know, like it's going to go down. So resumes are not going to look very good. It's probably going to take some Mountain West team going on a big run. And I don't know that we're going to see that. So for Ray, for Case, I am Taylor. And we will talk to you guys next week.